Well, I'd love to start with some updates on some of the major discussions that we've had. And I know it's only been a month, which is not a long time in terms of major projects, but particularly talking about the Trades District and Switchyard Park.
Yeah, Switchyard Park is now in process. The designer has been hired. The firm was selected. Board of Park Commissioners has voted on that. So what you see now is what will be there by the time I'm finished, so that the designs will be in process and won't be ready until 2016. And I would hope that maybe you'd start to see earth being moved in the summer of 2016, but the next administration will have to decide. And there's not been a firm commitment yet from either candidate as to whether they support the full park investment or not. So that's really something that the designs will be done, but ultimately the construction won't occur until the next administration. On the Trades District, actually quite a bit has happened in the last month, and we've moved forward. The RDC, Redevelopment Commission, will open bids from anyone else who might have stepped forward, and we're hearing some talk there might be another interested investor, and so we'll learn that this week as to whether there is anyone else or not. Meantime, the Flaherty and Collins, the firm that we've talked about already and has been publicly announced, is working through the process, looking through the planning stages. And there are multiple tracks going on there, both with the RDC as well as with eventually the Plan Commission. So there are a lot of deadlines coming up, and quite a bit has been happening on that front.
Is the city moving forward with getting that land ready at the Trades District, the straightening of 10th Street and
so
forth?
Yeah, there's still a private property owner that's impacted by that, so those discussions continue. And again, I don't think you'll see earth being moved before the end of calendar year 2015, but the planning for the earth being moved is happening.
We have to mention the city budget, which was approved last week. Yeah. When people think of about $72 million budget being approved, they may think, oh, what new things are we getting? What's happening? But most of that is staff, right?
That is true. It's more than 90% of it is personnel. And I've talked recently about this issue and said I think that my successor may be somewhat shocked to learn how little discretionary dollars are available to him, and it will be a him in this case. And that's because so much of it is personnel. So unless you're really looking to reduce staff size or not fill vacancies, you're not going to have a lot of discretionary dollars available to you. When I came into office in 2004, the city's the revenue stream was a greater one from the state, and with property tax caps having kicked in, our available dollars have dwindled, and expenses have gone up, health insurance in particular, but fuel, which luckily lately has leveled out, but has increased significantly since 2003. And so those expenses have gone up, even though our personnel numbers have remained relatively stagnant. We've added quite a few police officers over the years, but we did that early retirement program. We changed the way in which we insure our staff, so that freed up some dollars that otherwise, we would have run out of available dollars in the general fund, literally, had we not done that insurance shift. So things have, in fact, that was my goal, my last part of my term, has been to stabilize the city's budget so the next administration is inheriting a budget that's got a pretty healthy surplus in it, probably one of the healthiest surpluses in the state for a municipality. You can argue that it's too great. The danger is if you start to dip into it and start to use some of that reserve money, you better be careful not to use it in a way that's feeding an operating budget that will demand to be funded every year, that it better just be one-time only expenses.
Some may say that the new parking meters are providing a big new resource. Did that affect the budget this coming year?
Not particularly. No. People I know feel that we're still paying for the meters themselves. There's not a significant amount of revenue up and above that. But also, even when that does start to come, that revenue is restricted under state law as to how it can be used. So people said, well, they're doing this to raise their own salaries or to fund their new special pet program, whatever it might be, that people had their suspicions about. Almost none of those suspicions would even be eligible to be funded by meter revenue. Now, there are things you can do, and that I think the next administration will do. You can fund downtown priorities, things that are related to the area that is served by the meters, and that, of course, is primarily what they're there for, is a management tool, but the dollars that come in can be reinvested into the downtown area.
A story we covered last week was the city's water contaminants increasing, has drawn some concern of utility water quality office officials. Were you able to look into this at all and determine how serious this is?
Well, I'm not capable of understanding the technical aspects of it, and I think most of us aren't, which is why the board is looking to, even though we have water specialists at utilities, there are people who even greater expertise who can advise us. And so that's why I believe that the board will contract with those experts who can give us two things. One is expert opinion, but also I think even maybe more, how about this, as importantly, is independent look at it. You know, I would hesitate for our own staff to evaluate it and issue a clean bill of health, not because I don't have faith that they would be accurate, but because I think people would look at that and wonder, well, how do we know that's right? How can we be sure? There's very few things that are more important than our water supply, very few things. So you want to make sure you get it right, but also that you instill confidence in people that you are right. And if there's a problem, we want to know about it. And so I think even if we had evaluated it internally and come up with either a clean bill of health or that we've got a problem, we would want a second opinion. So we're going to be doing that.
And the Bloomington water comes from Lake Monroe.
It is. Lake Monroe, you know, this community has a long history of water supply and water supply politics, going back to the Twin Lakes, which now the lake is, you know, the lakes aren't even there, to eventually to Griffey, to Lemon, and Lake Monroe. And the concern is exactly what's causing the issue. In part, it's surely because we're treating the water and it's a byproduct of that treatment. The question that a lot of rumors already going around about, well, it's increased fuel from boats that's causing it. It's because the boats are flushing into, and that's not even allowed on Lake Monroe, so very unlikely that that's what it is. It's a runoff from homes or businesses in the watershed area. And, you know, we don't know. And that's exactly why it's important to get that independent expert opinion.
I wanted to get your take.
You know, I guess I'm sorry to interrupt you, Joe, but I realize as I'm talking about this, the one thing I haven't said is that these levels are still within acceptable levels. And I think most people who've read about it, viewed it, heard about it on FIU, TIU know this, but I want to make sure as I'm talking about it that we don't make people feel like, hey, there's a problem here, that water is, we're in danger right now and we need to fix it. This is about preventing there being a problem that goes beyond acceptable levels.
Sure. I wanted to talk a little bit about annexation, and I know that it's not something that has come up during your term here.
Well, we've done smaller annexation than the previous administration. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about your take on annexation and what should happen, even though we know we're at the end of your term?
Sure. I took a very conservative approach when it came to annexation for two reasons. One is I always, just philosophically, have felt that way. Excuse me. In the legislature for 16 years, I tended to vote, I can't think of an exception, in fact, where I didn't vote on the more conservative pro-property rights side of that issue. It's really a conservative streak in me when it comes to government taking, whether that be your privacy through monitoring, surveillance by government, or whether it comes literally in government taking by eminent domain or annexation. Changing the status of your land is something that I feel like government should do at extremely deliberative pace and only with maximum public input. And I can tell you, my predecessors weren't particularly happy with me when I was a state legislator because of that position, but I've carried that with me even into this office. That's the first reason. Just philosophically, I think before you go and change the status of someone's land, someone who's purposely chosen to live outside of a city limits, to go and take them and bring them into the city should be done cautiously and with maximum public input. The second reason, though, is the impact is not just on the property owners outside of the city who are impacted by an annexation. You have to be careful that you don't water down the services for existing city residents. So, for instance, if we went out and this annexation that we are looking at, and I think the city will continue to look at, it will take something like 5,000 homes, 9,000 more people would come into the city if you did the full annexation. That has an impact on our ability to provide services. Obviously, you're bringing in more revenue through taxation. At the same time, you're adding police services, fire service, trash sanitation, and snow control. And we know that we're losing money per household on sanitation, for instance, that the fee related to sanitation, the tax dollars that cover that service, don't fully fund the cost of the service. So adding 5,000 households just digs that hole even deeper. So you have to be careful about not digging a hole for yourself financially in that expansion. Everyone believes the prevailing wisdom is that when you take more, you tax more, you're bringing in more money. There's truth to that. But you're also going to have your cost increase, and you have to be very careful about the ratios to make sure you're doing it responsibly.
I wanted to move ahead to crows being back in the news. We talked about this last year too, and something that we've covered for some years in Terre Haute, now becoming what seems like a bigger problem in Bloomington. There was a meeting of experts and residents talking about how to prevent them from invading the downtown again this winter. And I believe you are the one that told me that they are attracted from the heat of the buildings, pretty much.
I've not known that. I probably wasn't. I know we looked into it last year.
Yeah.
I read that, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. I have not known that until I read it. And what we were told a year ago, and you and I talked about, is that you need to try to do something before they roost for the season, because otherwise they are locked in, and that is an issue. And of course, if they don't roost here, where are they going to go? And I have to say that does give you pause. Is we may solve the problem around the courthouse square, and where are we causing it to start? Where else would they likely go? And then what have you done?
Has any of the solutions or ideas came through your desk, or anything being moved on this before these colder temperatures are almost here?
Yeah, no, I think that it's Terre Haute is one of the and Terre Haute has the nice benefit of one of the experts in the state is out of Indiana State University, the professor there who was he's been advising us, and I believe that's who they're going to be talking to through this effort in downtown. There are no pretty solutions. You either are trying to move them, and then they may infest another area. You're trying to kill them, and that carries with it a whole. This was a problem back in the 80s in Indianapolis, and no kidding, you can probably Google it. They were downtown around the State House shooting blackbirds, and it was not the image that they had hoped for. And this was in an era before social media was what it is. And yet that photo on the weekends of city staff and others coming downtown and killing birds painted a picture that wasn't exactly what you wanted. But I will say, the problem has certainly gotten worse. Last year was deplorable conditions in downtown, and it is a public safety hazard. So ultimately, it may be some pretty unpleasant solutions have to be utilized.
I saw an article in the Herald Times that you were one of five Indiana mayors supporting the EPA's update of standards for clean air. We've been hearing from the governor this year tell the president that Indiana, though, does not want to comply with new air standards, that would hurt Indiana's economy, the coal industry. What's the main difference in your way of thinking?
Well, I've fought this fight for 30 years. In the state legislature, the same thing when I was on the Environmental Affairs Committee, I chaired something called the Environmental Quality Services Council, and the rap has always been, if you're pro-environment, you're anti-economic development. And I will tell you, this is not just Republicans. This is many Democrats as well. That's why there are so few mayors that signed on to this. I will tell you that I received a mailing within the week of that being announced, that article that you saw, from the Manufacturers Association of the United States and Indiana Manufacturers Association. They were very particular in copying all the manufacturers in Bloomington and Monroe County. Message received that this is something that's going to adversely impact your employers. I can only say that there is no doubt that increased environmental standards can have a cost to industry. But I also know that those very same industries, all their employees, those employees' families, are breathing this air, drinking this water, and that I think the cost associated with elevated cancer levels and all health conditions that we have from air and water contamination offset, and that we need to find ways to make this something that works both for the environment and the economy. You know, there are ways to do that, and I think we've seen what happens in this country, not to take this to too big a level, but when we start to become reliant upon fossil fuels overseas, it leads us to wars. Now, that may sound like a melodramatic statement, but I believe history bears that out. On the other hand, even if you don't take it to that level, it certainly has led to health concerns. And over the years, when you have back, I grew up in an era when Lake Erie was set on fire. You could set a Great Lake on fire because of how contaminated it was. We cleaned that up, it became much better. Fishing industry came back, tourism came back. You know, there was a cost to doing that cleanup. There was a cost to the industry to stop dumping into the lake. And yet, we figured out a way, this country figured out a way to bring the environmental quality of that lake back, as well as the economy of the region. So there were a lot of smart people. We ought to be able to figure this out. We ought to have a default position be, though, protect ourselves on a health level. This isn't just about touchy-feely environmentalism. This is a public health issue, and ultimately about the economy. When you kill a great lake, when you kill a community, you're hurting its economy as well.
I wanted to get your take on the Courthouse Square historic designation. Mm-hmm. I believe they're meeting this week about that.
Yeah, there's a public session on that, a public input session has to be held, and that's one of the steps.
What's your take on the Monroe County Courthouse area being designated historic?
Yeah, this has really been a city council initiative, and I've been supportive of their efforts to get going on it. It was important to me that we first designated, and we did, the building that we're sitting in now, and the buildings in the Certified Tech Park area, the old showers industry related buildings. I felt it was important before we went out and told the private sector, we're going to designate your buildings, that we designate our own. So that was done. But I think that there's real value in preserving the identity of downtown. It was important to me that we first designate the publicly owned buildings. So the building that we're sitting in, the Certified Tech Park related to the showers industry, all those buildings were designated first. That before we went out to the private sector and said, we're going to designate your area, we designate our own. So now we're looking at the Courthouse Square, and the City Council, this has been its initiative, and we've been supportive of what they're trying to do. But the uniqueness of downtown is a huge selling point for our community. And that's why I was very focused on, some would say too focused on, chain restaurants in downtown. And that's because of the identity. It's not being anti-chain, it's being pro-unique quality of downtown. That the community character is what's feeding our community commerce. Bloomington's the kind of place people want to come because it's different, not because it looks like every place else. And so trying to preserve our history is, again, it's part of our economic development strategy. So the entirety of the square area, a lot of people think this is the courthouse we're talking about. It's the courthouse, but it's also the surrounding block. It's the square. And it it's almost its own entity that would be designated. It's not just about each and every building. I know there's some people saying, well, I don't want to say a name, but there's a building there that doesn't look that great. Why would we want to preserve that as historic? It's not just each building individually, although in many cases it is. It's the fabric of the downtown, the square itself. And I think that's why it's important to designate.
I wanted to conclude with that I heard you were a guest entertainer at a Comedy Attic, and the Ask the Mayor segment actually came up during.
That is true.
During, so a fan had to come up and tell me that. I wasn't there, so I wasn't.
Well, that's
able
the
to...
problem, Joe. I was shocked you weren't there. I would have thought you not only would have been there, you would have been covering it as probably a half-hour comedy special on WFTIU.
Well, we were kind of hoping right now there would be an encore performance of that, or somewhat, because I missed it. I looked on YouTube; it hasn't gone viral.
Well, thank goodness. I've worried about that every year. I check and see. Well, that will be on YouTube. Or somebody live tweeting this. Every year, the Comedy Attic and has now it's into its seventh year. It's hard to believe, and they do one show per year, their anniversary show, as a fundraiser, where 100% of the proceeds, Jared and Dana Thompson, who own it, give 100% of the proceeds that night. The ticket prices are a bit higher than they normally are to a local group, and this year Mother Hubbard's Cupboard was the beneficiary of the show, so that's my excuse for why I participate once per year. And believe me, it is a lot harder than it looks. It is something that is very intimidating. If I get up to give a talk in town and start with a couple of jokes, if those jokes fail, that's all right. You're there for a different purpose. You get up on the stage and the jokes fail, you're in big trouble because you have no speech as a backup. So I did mention Ask the Mayor, though. I did say that in the old days when I used to sit down for the show that the announcer would come on and say, this is Ask the Mayor, brought to you, I don't know if I should say the name or not, but brought to you by the Mortuary Crematorium and the Solid Waste Management District. And I thought that really much described the show with me on it.